You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning. Lawmakers are watching Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson closely to see how he's managing the massive $700 billion bailout package. But Naomi Klein, author of The Shock Doctrine, The Rise of Disaster Capitalism, thinks Americans should be watching the government just as closely. Naomi Klein's Rolling Stone article, The New Trough, parallels the government's use of private contractors to manage the bailout with similar practices that were used during the early years of the Iraq War. She joins us now from Toronto. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Naomi, what are the parallels between the bailout package and the Coalition Provisional Authority?
Well, there are some key people who have shown up in the same places. But the underlying premise of the CPA was that anything that could be privatized, anything that could be outsourced, would be. And that is something that hasn't received very much attention about the bailout. That the bailout itself, though it's the public face of it are Treasury officials, the actual work is being contracted out to private companies, to Wall Street banks, to banks like Bank of New York Mellon. In many cases, these are the companies that are really at the heart of the crisis itself. The people who got us into this mess are now being paid to get us out of it. And the other parallels are simply the state of emergency, the rush to hand out the contracts very, very quickly that created the no-bid contracts in Iraq, the lack of oversight. We're seeing some of that repeat, where the contracts were handed out very quickly with very little competition, handed out to politically connected firms, and now we're seeing once again the lack of oversight. We're even seeing some things that we didn't see in Iraq, like the largest contract that was handed out has been handed out so far is to Bank of New York Mellon, to be the kind of general contractor, the sort of Halliburton of the Treasury.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very large contract. We know that. It's the most important contract of all. What we don't know is just how large, because they've redacted the part of the contract with Bank of New York Mellon that tells taxpayers how much they are paying, or even how they will measure the payment for Bank of New York Mellon. Because, I mean, are there bonuses? What sort of incentives are there? This is very important because this Bank of New York Mellon is itself involved in the derivatives industry. They stand to benefit from the bailout directly. They have already benefited because they're one of the nine banks that received the original equity deals. The other thing I talk about in the Rolling Stone piece is that another contract was handed out to a Wall Street law firm to advise Treasury on those equity deals. And that's a Wall Street firm called Simpson Bartlett and Thatcher. And Simpson Thatcher has represented seven of the nine banks, been the lawyer for seven of the nine banks that received those original equity deals. And we know that the deals that were negotiated by Treasury are extremely controversial. I mean, if they were negotiating good deals with Treasury,
right,
then we could all relax. But the problem is it's become very controversial that, for instance, they didn't follow the rule number one of deal making, which is get it in writing. The way those equity deals were sold to the public was that it would address the credit crunch, that it would get the banks to start lending. Now we find out that the banks can pretty much do whatever they want with the $250 billion that has been allocated for this purpose.
And Naomi, that seems to come as a great shock to many. In fact, we spoke with the chairman of the House Financial Services Committee, Barney Frank, last mm-hmm. week, and he was saying when they hold hearings this week, that's going to be his number one question. These banks have gotten billions and billions of dollars, but they're not relending it, at least not at a rate that he says that they should.
Exactly. And, you know, Barney Frank's even said that this violates the act, which means that those equity deals are illegal under the legislation that he helped author. But I really think the Treasury has lawmakers over a barrel here, because essentially what they're saying is, you know, we dare you to call us on this. We dare you to call off these deals, to try to reverse these deals, because what would be the consequences if it is illegal? Well, then you would have to pull the money out of the banks, right?
But before we even get to that,
Wall Street panic. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, but just to your point, but doesn't this go to the very heart of the discussion, which was this notion of oversight, that was going to be a critical component? And to find out now that the checks have been written, or at least most of the $350 billion, the first installment,
yeah,
has already been written, but the oversight board has not been fully set up.
Well, it's really incredible, and it isn't. You know, you're talking about the fact that they haven't put the key people in place to watch the store. There are other elements of this, like the fact that we don't even know there's $2 trillion. This is above the
right.
Above and beyond the 700 billion. FDIC has also approved these emergency. No, this is the Federal Reserve has handed out $2 trillion in emergency loans to financial institutions, but also potentially to other corporations. We don't know which ones. Bloomberg News is suing in federal court to find out who has gotten this money, who's gotten these taxpayer loans, and what the collateral has been. And this is a really key issue because, of course, at the heart of the crisis are these bad assets, these distressed assets, and no one knows what the value of those assets are. So if they've accepted those assets as collateral, then that means there's a very good chance the taxpayers won't get their loans repaid. So this is a huge issue, and it's more secrecy. And let's remember that secrecy is what got us into this, a lack of transparency, the shadow banking industry. But coming back to the original Paulson plan, that very controversial three-page document, which essentially said, give me absolute impunity to hand out $700 billion. The original plan was to buy distressed assets, but with no checks and balances. That was rejected. And then we heard all of these guarantees about accountability, about transparency. And so where we're at now is that Henry Paulson has achieved what he originally wanted, but just through stealth, really just through inaction, through what is sometimes described as incompetence. But I really don't think it is incompetence, because this is what they wanted in the first place, which is no oversight. And this is what brings us back to Iraq. You know, we know how this turns out. The Green Zone was referred to as one CPA official as a free fraud zone. This is and let's remember that the reconstruction of Iraq, the original allocation was $18.7 billion in taxpayer money to reconstruct Iraq. There was a huge amount of corruption in that. We're talking about more than $700 billion, and they're repeating the same mistakes.
Well, you know what, Naomi, this means you're going to be in business for a long time, and we certainly would love for you to come back, because we didn't even get to your wonderful comparison between the bailout in Britain versus the bailout in the United States and what taxpayers got there that we're not necessarily getting here. We thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you so much.
Naomi,
have a great day.
Naomi Klein is the author of The Shock Doctrine, The Rise of Disaster Capitalism. She's also got an article in Rolling Stone called The New Trough, in which she parallels some of the use of private contractors in Iraq against some of the use of private contractors in the $700 billion bailout package. Now we turn to Mark Arison, who's going to give us about two headlines.
29 minutes after the hour, Senate Democrats are working to help the troubled auto industry.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.